You're listening to the Street Smart Wealth Podcast, episode number 58. Welcome to Street Smart Wealth, delivering everything awesome on how to profit in your PJs at home with the best of offline and social media marketing strategies. I'm your host, Jackie Ulmer, and each week I'll be sharing the solid, proven tips and training that I used to create a multi-million dollar income from home, as well as exciting interviews with other top income earners to help you be successful in your home-based direct sales and network marketing business. If you don't have the Profit in Your PJs report, grab it over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. Well, hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Street Smart Wealth Profit in Your PJs podcast. I'm Jackie Ulmer, and I am thrilled to be bringing you show number 58, but more specifically, a dynamic interview with a dynamic lady, Tracy Montefort. Tracy's been a career network marketer for over two decades, and I got the privilege of actually meeting her live in 2008 when we went on the MLM cruise. If you haven't ever been on the MLM cruise, it's an amazing opportunity to mix, mingle, catch some fun and sun and all that good stuff. And you can just type in, I believe it's MLMcruise.com, will take you there. But we actually had met online before and then met in person finally and have connected at other networking events since that time. And it's just been a lot of fun getting to know her, work with her on some different promotional type things and all of that. She, along with her husband, is co-founder of WTPowers.com. It's an automated lead generating, prospecting, follow-up and training system, and she's worked with thousands of network marketers worldwide to help them make more money faster and with less effort. She's kind of known for her dialing for dollars technique, teaching people how to work with leads, running workshops, and that type thing. And some specific things I really want you to listen for in this interview. I want you to listen for her story of getting started, her resistance originally to network marketing and the product that she was introduced to specifically, how she changed that mindset and her big why of being home with her children. And then she certainly went through plenty of challenges with companies that shut down, changed a lot of things, and having to start over several different times. She's also going to share with you, you know, the three skills that she believes are most specific that you develop in your network marketing career if you want to be successful. And then we'll chat a little bit about dialing for dollars and her workshops and that type thing. So I hope you'll enjoy this interview as much as I enjoy doing it. And first, let's hear from the sponsor of today's podcast, MasterMLMSuccess.com. Are you ready to learn a success system for your network marketing business? Do you need a training program that can take you from A to Z to success in network marketing? This powerful training series includes goal setting and your why, which may sound typical, but it's so important. Setting realistic expectations and understanding the timeline for success. Handling shutdowns and objections. Creating a mindset for success. Scheduling your daily success calendar. And then developing your daily and weekly action plan. Creating a powerful 30-day success story and the psychology behind that, as well as leadership training, learning how to stop the naysayers in their tracks, and those juicy opening one-liners, and more. So you can learn more about that over at MasterMLMSuccess.com. And speaking of mastering MLM success, I hope to see you at this year's Association of Network Marketing Professionals Convention. We'll be gathering in Dallas, Texas, March 27th through the 30th with over 30 speakers from all around the globe. And fabulous meals are included in your low ticket price of $97. You can learn more at anmpconvention.com, anmpconvention.com. And I hope to see you at the Association of Network Marketing Professionals Convention in Dallas, Texas, March 27th. Through the 30th. So with that, let's get into our fabulous interview with Tracy Montefort.
All right, so welcome everybody to this interview with the amazing Tracy Montefort. Tracy, thanks so much for being on the call with us.
I am so excited to be here, Jackie. Thank you for asking me to be here.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it's been fun. You and I have gotten to know each other over the past 3 years or so. Our paths had kind of crossed before online, but we finally, well, I guess we met live on the MLM cruise sometime back in 2008, I think it was.
Wow, time
but,
flies.
You know, I know. Isn't that amazing? It's
yep.
so amazing. It does fly. But in the last 3 years, we've met at several events and different things like that, so it's been a lot of fun.
I remember
a great
actually.
Story.
Oh, I was going to say, I remember actually seeing you online long before we had ever personally met. And I was so impressed with some of the things, some of the training and so forth that you were putting out there that I actually reached out to you. And I think I invited you on one of our training calls, our Meet the Experts calls or something. This was way, way, way back before you and I ever met in person. But I've always been really impressed with what you do online.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And I do remember that. Now that you say that, that totally rings a bell with me. Totally rings a bell. Isn't it funny?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the internet is just is such a great connector. I love it.
I do too.
I do love it. Well, tell us a little bit about you. Tell us a little bit about your story and your background before network marketing.
Well, let's see. I went to school to become a school teacher, and I got my credential. And I moved up to Humboldt County, California, which is a coastal redwoods, Northern California, just a beautiful place to go to Humboldt State University. And I had been a science major. I kind of shifted. Everyone had told me my whole life I was supposed to be a teacher. And I even taught little kindergartners, actually pre-kindergartners, four-year-olds in my home when I was a little girl, when I was in second grade, and got them all ready for kindergarten and everything. I had open house at my house, had their parents come over, sent home report cards, had them sign it and everything. And so I was always playing school, always teaching. And then for some reason, I was also very interested in sciences and so forth, and I decided I wanted to be a scientist. And after about 3 years of being a science major, I kind of came back around to people were telling me, Tracy, you've missed your calling. You're supposed to be a teacher. And I kind of just woke up to that. Yeah, you know what? That is really what I'm cut out to be and what I love to be and what makes me happiest. And so I changed my major, went up to Humboldt State, got my teaching credential, and I had so much background in science that I emphasized in math and science. And that was fortunate because where I live, it's a really small area, and there were about 120 applicants for every job. And I was lucky that I had the math science background because there were only like 45 for the job that I got hired for. So straight out of college, I got hired to be a junior high school teacher, math and science. And so I taught at a little school called Ferndale Elementary School, and beautiful little Victorian town. And so that's where I started out, was teaching junior high.
Well, very good. And then how did network marketing come into your life? What happened? How did you get exposed?
You know, it's so interesting how life just kind of goes. You know, you never know. You go to college all these years and get a degree, and you think that's what you're going to be doing. And in that same year that I graduated from college, got my first teaching job, I also got married, got pregnant, and moved. It was a pretty horrendous year. And I didn't know I'd be making all of these life decisions and life changes so rapidly, you know, one after the other, but that's the way it unfolded. And my son was actually born on June 17th, 5 days after school got out. Now, I made myself continue to teach all the way through. I could have taken that six-week leave, but I didn't want to because I wanted to complete what I had started. And so I taught all the way through the year, and June 17th he was born. And then, you know, teachers, they go back to school about mid-August because they have to get their classrooms ready and everything. And so here I was going to have this, like, you know, two-and-a-half-month-old baby, and I did not want to put him in daycare. And it was such a difficult decision, Jackie, because I had worked all those years, you know, to get my teaching degree and credential, and then the jobs were so competitive, and I knew that I was really fortunate to have gotten hired right out, but my baby was more important to me than that. And so I kind of just threw caution to the wind and quit my job. And I had no idea what I was going to do for income. And my husband at the time had just started a brand new business also. And he was making about a whopping, clearing about a whopping $400 per month. So after the summer, you know, I had the checks coming in because that's what they do for teachers. They hold back some of your income and they send you 3 checks over the summer. But after that, I had no idea what I was going to do other than be a mom and figure something out.
So then what happened? How did you, what did you figure out and how did you find network marketing?
Well, for a little while, I was substitute teaching because my husband had a flexible schedule and we could, you know, share that time together of taking care of our son. But my sister is really the one who introduced me to network marketing, and she had had her son 15 months before I had my son, and she had the same decision. She had been a full-time bookkeeper for a private school for many years. And she did not want to put her son in daycare. They had tried for 8 years to have a child, and finally when he was born, it was like, you know, he was the center of the universe, of course, and she didn't want to leave him. So she ended up getting involved in network marketing, and she was in a skincare company. And people would describe my sister and I back then as Princess Diana and Nature Girl. That's how different we were. Okay. I don't know, most people know where Humboldt County is, but it's kind of a real, you know, outdoorsy, natural place. And I was still wearing Birkenstocks. I still had my hair parted down the middle into my waist, you know. I was just like I was in high school pretty much, and I didn't wear any makeup. And my sister, she would try to get me interested in this company and working for myself from home, but she would say things like, oh, I just love having all these lipstick choices. And she'd pull something out of her beauty case and put on this lipstick, and I would just kind of roll my eyeballs because it didn't appeal to me. I didn't see myself putting on pantyhose and going out into women's homes and sharing makeup. I didn't get the big picture at all. So, but she was making a lot of money. She'd more than replaced her full-time income and within about 10 months, and she also won an all-expense-paid trip to Hong Kong and Hawaii and for herself and her husband, and I love to travel. So I was watching and kind of wanting what she had, but I didn't like her vehicle so much. So she actually introduced me to a friend of hers who was selling educational toys. And she thought, well, isn't this sweet? I mean, here's my sister caring so much about me that she didn't try to recruit me really hard. She thought, what's best for my sister? And she introduced me to a product that she thought I would resonate with being a school teacher. So I signed up for this company, and I lived 300 miles away from my sponsor. I didn't know the first clue about network marketing. In fact, nobody even really explained it to me. I got these crates of toys delivered to my house with a video, and I popped that in. It was back when we had the VCRs. This was back in, well, my son was born in 1987, and I trained myself how to do a toy party just by watching the video. And so I asked for some referrals from a midwife that lived down the street, and I said, do you know any moms who might like to earn some free toys? And I got a few people, and I started doing these toy parties. And from every party, I would book more parties and so forth. And I did really well. I one time got a postcard and a prize or something from my upline, which I didn't even know what upline meant. And she was congratulating me on being the number 2 salesperson in her entire organization. And she was like the lead person down in the Sacramento area, Sacramento, California. And I was like really stoked that, you know, I was this number 2 salesperson. But I really wasn't making very much money, and I kind of crunched all the numbers, and I thought, you know, I'm coming home, and I'm, after all my travel time and expense and the toys and everything, maybe making 25 to 50 bucks a show, which took me like 3 or 4 hours, you know, driving there, setting up this elaborate display, doing the presentation, breaking it all down, getting back home. And my sister finally said, Tracy, you don't have a consumable product. You know, people don't run out of their toy. These toys, I still have these toys in my attic for my grand. I'm saving them for my grandkids. They're in perfect condition. You know, people don't call you and say I ran out of my toys. And my upline in the toy company was trying to get me to recruit people. She's like, well, you should build a team and you should get some other people to sell toys. Why would I want to recruit my own competition? I'm just going to be the number 1 salesperson here. I didn't understand the concept of team. No one really explained it to me. So finally my sister started saying to me, about, you know, the residual. When people run out of their skincare products, they order more. And I said, but I love my toys. And she said, Tracy, if you come do this with me, you'll make so much money you can buy all the toys you want. So I had been using the skincare products. I had had adult acne before that, had a lot of scarring on my jawline, and these products cleared up my acne and took my scars away. So I found the way that I could be a believer in the product. It wasn't about selling makeup. It was about helping women with herbal-based skincare in my area, which was, you know, a natural kind of, people were into natural ingredients and all. And so I at first I felt like I came in a little kicking and screaming. I'm like, I'm not going to wear pantyhose, and, you know, I can't be you, but I want what you have. I want your lifestyle. And so I came on board.
And then what changed for you? How did you go about transitioning to a new company? I mean, you're still living in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, many of the people who you had contacted had done toy parties or bought toy parties. How did you then pick up and launch this new business?
You know, that's a great question. I never really thought about that. I don't think I gave it too much thought. I wasn't super-duper established with the toy company, I guess. You know, I hadn't recruited anyone or anything like that. So I just started fresh. Some of those people I probably did, it's hard for me to remember now, back all those years, we're talking like 26 years ago. But I just made a shift in my mind. For me, it was a new venture because now I started to kind of understand the concept of building a team. And I just really trusted my sister, and I followed her blueprint. And so, you know, she told me exactly what to do. Well, here's the thing, Jackie. I couldn't even afford to buy my beauty case. And in order to buy the beauty case, they made you have 6 bookings on your calendar, which means I had to have 6 women agree to have me over to their home with a group of friends and show these products. And before I could do the 6 bookings, I had to have a debut party at my own house. And I had to get a group of women to come to that. And my sister was driving 300 miles up to do my opening, my grand opening debut party. And so basically I just had to get on the phone and start calling people and inviting them, A, to book, and B, to come to my house. And I was terrified, I'll be honest with you. I was. I did think people were going to laugh at me, think I was silly, judge me, and all of those things. So, but I wanted it. I wanted it really bad. And I also wanted it to be successful because my sister was fronting me the money to buy my beauty case, and I needed to make this work so, A, I could pay her back, and, B, I could stay home with my child.
It's funny. You and I chatted about why earlier, and we'll definitely get to that. But when your why is compelling enough, you'll make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you, I know it is hard to remember because it was a long time ago, but do you remember, did you have a specific script? I know you said you were terrified. Did your sister get you started with what to call and say to these people? You know, do you remember that? Did you just kind of make it up as you went along, or did you have something kind of set in front of you that you at least felt comfortable with calling and saying?
Yeah, I think I did have some approaches to use and you know, a very simple little script to follow. But I'll tell you what got me through it. And I don't know how I knew to do this, but it became my mantra. And I teach this to this day in my Dialing for Dollars workshops and everything I do. And I let people take my mantra if they want, or I have them create one of their own. And as I sat and looked at that list of people I was going to call, and all that judgment, fear, and everything started welling up inside of me, like, oh, here I am, this professional person. I've got my college degree. I've got my teaching credential. And now I'm selling skincare products, and people are going to think I'm silly, or they're going to, you know, want to reject me, or they're judging me, and all of that kind of mind chatter went on. I just would take that one person and look at that person, that individual, and I would try to take myself out of the equation and say, how can what I have help this individual? And then I would think, well, you know, she's struggled with skin problems too, and this product really did help me, and I think this product would really help her. And you know what? I'm really not asking for her a favor. I'm offering her an opportunity. So I'm not asking for a favor. I'm offering an opportunity. And then I'd have to repeat it a few times. And then I would get the courage. With my heart pounding and all of that, I'd pick up the phone and I would call and just, you know, have a little icebreaker for the conversation and then let them know that I was excited. I'd found a new business, so I could stay home with my son. I was in love with this product because what it had done for me, and I wondered if they would like to come and preview the product in my home. And I thought that it might be something that, you know, they would like as well. And that's about it, you know. Then they'd say yes, usually, you know, it was really nice. Or, you know, if they had a busy schedule, I'd book. I'd see if I could get a chance to, could you gather a few friends and let me come over to your house and show it to you and your friends. And that's how I book my parties. And so then I'd hang up, and then I'd look at the next person on the list, and I'd get all nervous and start to go into my mind chatter about how they might judge me or think of me. And then I'd go, well, wait a minute. They've got small children. They seem like they're always kind of struggling to get by. Maybe they would like this opportunity. Wow, you know what? I'm not asking for a favor. I'm offering an opportunity. And I just would chatter that to myself over and over and over again until I got the courage to pick up the phone. And sometimes it would take me, you know, saying that mantra 10 times to myself between the calls. But, I, you know, what was interesting was I found out that people were very friendly and they were very receptive and they weren't judging me. And I ended up getting a good number of women over to my home. My debut party was very successful. I booked all six of my parties. And my sister came up and did the presentation. We made enough sales for me to be able to pay back for my beauty case. And from those first six parties that launched my business, I never had an empty calendar for the next 8 years. And I had an average of three parties per week, every single week for the next 3 years. And within 10 months' time, I more than replaced my full-time income from my teaching job, and I also earned the first trip for myself and my husband to Cancun, Mexico. Total luxury, all expenses paid. And my sister and her husband were there, too. So we enjoyed the next 8 years together, working together and traveling all very, very many different places around the world. So just followed her blueprint, basically.
Yeah, well, gee, doesn't that sound familiar? For sure. Okay, so in that 8 years, I'm sure, and maybe I'm not sure, so were there challenges and obstacles that you had to overcome? Were there times that you wanted to quit? Was it all sunshine and roses? I mean, talk to us a little bit about that.
There were so many times where there were challenges and where I wanted to quit. And every time I wanted to quit, basically, I remember specifically going and sitting and looking through the newspaper and going, okay, what jobs are out there? And every time I would come back to my why, which, you know, is the why that will make you cry, none of these jobs are going to give me the freedom and flexibility that are going to allow me to, you know, be home for my children before school and after school, to be able to volunteer in their classrooms, to be able to go on all the field trips, to be able to take them to the beach in the middle of the day. You know, and just to be able to create the kind of income that I want to have without having a ceiling on my income. And so, you know, it's a cliche we have in our industry, but I did become psychologically unemployable. So those challenges would always drive me, you know, back. I mean, from a challenge, I would always drive back to just getting back to work again. And some of those challenges were, I remember one of my top leaders, she, you know, had a nice-sized organization here locally, and she went through a divorce, and her son was only five, and he was really having emotional problems over the divorce, and she could not leave him at night, and we did most of our skincare parties at night. And so she just kind of sat down, just quit working her business. And so the distributors that she had on her team kind of looked to her as their leader, and, you know, they kind of sat down too. So a lot of my volume went away. I had that happen several times with key leaders who had crises or whatever happened in their lives, and they just kind of lost interest. And so you have to go out and you have to find some new leaders and you have to rebuild.
I love that you share that, because sometimes, you know, it would be easy to look at your story and go, gosh, you know, 10 months it took her. She replaced her income. She went on a fabulous trip to Cancun, and it must have all been easy street after that. But it's like any kind of business. There are ups and downs and challenges. I don't care, you know, what type of business you're running. And even when you feel like you've made it, so to speak, or other people look at you and think that you've made it in network marketing, the same things can happen. So you're right. That why and all that is so important.
Well, you know, one of the biggest challenges that happened for me was, I mean, there were many along the way. I mean, I don't even know if I want to go there. I had some health issues and challenges that came up, too, right in the middle of qualifying for a very significant position in that company. You know, I had to work through that by making contests and setting some higher bars for people and rewards inside my team, and they pulled it off and things like that. But one of the biggest challenges that I came across, I mentioned that my sister and I did the company for 8 years. Well, the company ended up folding up here in the United States. They are the number 9 network marketing company in the world to this day, but they shut down in the United States. And so our opportunity went away. And, wow. You know, we had to completely start over at that point with a brand new company and a whole new, actually, we went into a whole different industry. We didn't stay in skincare at that point. And that's devastating when you start to see that happening. It can be devastating. It feels devastating if you let it devastate you. But at that point, I knew that I couldn't go back to work, even though my kids were older and they were, you know, they always need you. Your kids always need you.
Yeah,
need
you,
don't they, Jackie? But
absolutely.
I didn't want to.
21.
I love the lifestyle. I love the freedom. So I love the people, everything about network marketing. So I started over.
Did your sister start over with you? Did you guys stay together?
Yes. She started over with that company first, and I went in after her. Yes.
So did you guys kind of go together and research and decide, you know, what you wanted to do, or how did that happen?
How that happened was a lot of the leaders from our company that closed down went over to this other company, and we all kind of followed one or another, you know. We wanted to stay together, so we did. And I liked the idea of this other company and product and so forth. So, you know, I jumped in. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and then I want to talk a little bit about kind of the niche that you've identified for yourself. But what do you see as the primary skills that a person needs to be successful in network marketing? If you had to name, you know, 3, for instance, what do you think those primary skills would be that a person needs to focus on developing? And I say developing because most of us have to develop the skills necessary to be successful. It's not like we're born with them.
Absolutely. Well, I think primarily you have to build a belief in yourself, a confidence in yourself, and you have to be able to know how to be in rapport with others. And I think before you can be in rapport with others, you have to be in rapport with yourself. And so that's what I love about our industry. You know, I often say it's a personal development program with a compensation plan. And take a look at yourself in the mirror right now, because in maybe 3 to 6 months from now, you're not even going to recognize yourself because you're going to grow. So first and foremost, I think the skill is that you have to be willing to work on yourself and to kind of get out of your own way and to be coachable and be willing to grow and learn. People just don't get that when they first come into network marketing. They think they're just getting into some kind of a sales thing, and they don't realize all of the growth you're going to go through. So I think that would be number one, is being developing that skill of working on yourself and always be working on yourself, like you alluded to there, Jackie. You know, don't ever think you've arrived. Don't believe your own press. You know, when you're green, you're growing. When you're ripe, you're rotten. So there's always new things. And, oh, my gosh, especially today with the technologies and the Internet and all of that. And, you know, so you're always working on yourself. I think also, you know, and working on that inner confidence. And that comes from plugging into your team, the company support, becoming really confident about your company, your product, and about our industry, and realizing that it is a profession, and it's a very worthwhile endeavor. It's not just about making some money, you know. It's about really changing lives. And I think learning how to schedule yourself and discipline yourself is another really, really important skill. I just had a prospect ask me that yesterday. She said, so how do you do that? How do you work from home? How do you discipline yourself? I mean, do you just stay in your pajamas all day? Because that would depress me. And I said, well, you could if you wanted to, but I personally usually don't choose to do that, you know, because I want to treat it like it's with the respect it deserves. And so whatever you need to do to make yourself feel empowered to step into your office space every day and get to work is what you do. So I think, you know, people aren't used to that. They're used to having to be told where to show up and when to show up and how to work and what to do and when to clock in and when to clock out. And so it's a new discipline that you'll develop to where, you have to hold yourself accountable. So I think that would be definitely a skill, is learning to discipline yourself to really plug into, why, constantly reminding yourself why you're doing it, and set some rewards in place for yourself. Just because it does take time to build a successful business. So along the way, I always teach my students to reward themselves, build in celebration and rewards along the way. And then thirdly, what's another skill that you need? If we're talking just in general about network marketing, having the rapport, having the discipline to suit up and show up, and just learning how to be able to listen authentically to people. Most people, when you learn a few peak interest phrases that your company, I'm sure, will give you, you asked me, did my sister give me a little script or something? And it's so important that you know how to approach people in a way that opens a conversation. But then, beyond that, really develop that skill of listening authentically. Because once you ask a question, what a lot of times people do is they start thinking, what am I going to say next? And what if they say this? And what if they say that? And then they get so caught up in their own head that they miss all of the clues. And if you ask very good opening inviting questions, which your company will teach you, I'm sure, and then you learn to just sit back and really listen and hear what that person has to say, they will guide you right to what to do next in order to take them to that next step of either getting them as a customer or enrolling them as a distributor or moving them through your information pipeline, so that they can make a real informed and intelligent decision that is best for them.
Having good success language is one of the most important skills that you can develop, and you can learn more about that at streetsmartscripts.com. Streetsmartscripts.com is going to teach you how to use opening lines, how to communicate effectively with people, how to listen authentically, and how to find that interest and then find that need and fill it. So streetsmartscripts.com.
And one other thing I wanted to share, it's kind of funny that you say that about, dressing up and suiting up and being ready. I'm known as the Profit in Your PJs gal. That's kind of my tagline, because I do a lot, and all of us can, in our PJs. That's the beauty of working from home. And what I find is, if I'm working on technical stuff, I'm working on my website, I'm doing blog posts, I'm editing these podcasts, or, putting together that type thing, it's not uncommon for me to stay in my PJs a good part of the day. But today, getting ready for this interview, it's kind of funny. I mean, literally, just right before interviewing you, I got in the shower, I did my hair, I dressed up, I put my lipstick on and everything, and my husband even said to me, "Where are you going?" I said, "Nowhere, but I'm getting ready to work my business professionally, and when I have the right, when I'm dressed right and dressed professionally, I do a better job." So it's funny that you say that. I literally had just done that and just shared that with him, so I kind of got a kick out of that.
Well, it is funny, and I show up a lot of times in my workout clothes. I just came in from my dance class, and I wear my slippers all day no matter what I'm wearing. But I think it comes down to, how does it make you feel? Like that prospect said, it would depress her. Well, if it would depress you, then definitely get dressed. Treat it like a business.
Yeah. Right. Well, I want to talk a little bit now about your particular niche and something that you've carved out for yourself. And you kind of mentioned it already with your Dialing for Dollars workshops, but that really has become a niche that you have mastered and been extremely successful at yourself, and have trained lots and lots of other people to be successful. So talk to us a little bit about that niche and kind of how you got into working with leads, Dialing for Dollars, and that type thing.
Oh, I'd love to. Well, I live in a small area, and, if you think about it, half of my territory, if you're going to look at, 360 degrees, is the Pacific Ocean. So I live in a small town, and it was back actually in the, going towards the end of the 90s, about 1997, I think it was, that I was introduced to a company called ProStep, which was a lead company. They're no longer around, but at the time, I was learning how to work leads by the telephone. And I wasn't so sure about that, but I was thinking, I live in this small area. Wouldn't it be wonderful without travel to be able to reach out and find people all across the country who are looking for a home-based business. And so I got involved in that company. They had some great training, and I learned how to work leads over the telephone. And I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Now, my husband and I, there were a couple of other things that went along the way as far as companies. The company that I got into with my sister after 4.5 years, I decided I didn't feel like that was my long-term home. Ended up leaving that company. I was involved with that lead company at the time when I left, and I was looking for another primary program to build, because that lead company was also a network marketing company. My husband and I got to the top position of that company. We were sharing with people our methods of working the leads. And we found another company that was internet-based. And I was very excited about that, because for so many years in my network marketing my network marketing profession, I had home-based business, but I spent a lot of time in other people's homes sharing products. I spent a lot of time in hotel rooms doing presentations. I was usually the one in my area who was the leader, who was out doing presentations several times a week. And I still believe in those methods. I think those are great methods, and I love getting together with people. But I was really craving more of a home-based business, to where I could work mainly using the telephone and the internet. And so we really put our focus in on mastering that skill. And when we found the new internet-based company that we decided to build, utilizing leads and the techniques we had learned, we put in 18,000 people, or we grew an organization of 18,000 people in 18 months that was spanning 30 different countries. So we really grew to love working on the phone and the internet. And I guess maybe I got a little bit spoiled by that, and because I didn't have to go anywhere. I had a 100% home-based business. So what happened was, we put everything that we knew about network marketing and tools we were using and everything up on a website that we put out for free for people on our team. And our team started sharing that, and the company owner started sharing that, and pretty soon we were getting tens of thousands of hits to our website every month. And again, it was a free thing. Well, unfortunately, we had another incident where a company was shut down. They did some questionable things, I guess, according to the FTC, and they went away. And at that point was when my husband said to me, look, I want to build our own company. We've definitely discovered there's a niche out here for people who want to learn about working leads. And so we built our WT Powers business, and we launched that in 2001. So that's where my focus has really been for the past decade or so. It's actually been more than a decade now, is training other people how to use marketing tools online and how to make relationships with people that you don't know yet using just the telephone and the internet.
What is the key? See, that's the question that so many people ask. What is the key to working with leads? It's different than warm market. People don't know you. If you had to say what the key is to that, what is that?
Well, definitely it is a difference. I mean, you have to be able to develop a relationship with people quickly. And first of all, you really have to have a good source of leads. There is a difference. That being said, some people will tell me they have a bad lead source or a bad lead list, and I can take that list and I can find some good people inside there because I've developed a skill over time. But for most people, especially getting started, you want to make sure that you have a qualified lead source. And so the leads that I recommend are leads that have been at least double opted into something. They've actually requested information already. So they've been to some kind of a landing page online, and they've expressed an interest by filling out a form, and then that they have had to double opt into that list. The leads that I use on my workshop and on my Monday night calls that I do are phone verified. So they've already received a phone call from a vendor that checks in and makes sure that their information is correct. So if you're just new, you want to make sure that you have leads that at least have been pre-qualified to a degree. Secondly, you need to have a proven phone script. You can't just get on there and just think you're going to just wing it. And so the phone script that I use, I've been using on tens of thousands of prospects over the years, And I have really built in some psychology behind that script because you only have about 7 seconds to build rapport with somebody that doesn't know you on the phone. And some of that has to do with your intonation, how you're mirroring and matching with people on the phone, and some of it has to do with the words and the languaging that you're using. And the other thing I would say about a phone script or a phone interview with someone is don't rush it. You know, if I get a prospect that has good life force energy and they're answering my questions, you know, the way that I want to hear my questions answered, and even sometimes when they're not, I have to remind myself, I'm coming into their home at a time they didn't expect it, and I don't know what's going on at their home. I don't know what I've just walked into or what they've just come home from. And so I'm a little bit patient with people, and I don't rush the interview. I take time to really build rapport, ask some pretty deep questions that get them into a dream-building mode. It shares with me some personal things about them that I can then compliment them back as to why they would be a good fit for my team if I really truly believe that way. The other thing that I believe is critical is that you have a good information pipeline established, because when you're going to send somebody, once you've interviewed them, you're going to give them the first step of a research process, and your first look at your business needs to be something that is compelling. And it won't be compelling for everyone. It'll be compelling for the right people. But sometimes people will do a great job, you know, having a good lead source or generating their own leads, doing a great job on that interview, and then they'll send them to some kind of a presentation that really is not very professional or, you know, just doesn't really do a good job in presenting what the big picture is of their program. So they've got to have their information pipeline mapped out. And then they need to be consistent. You know, people get a list of leads, they'll call that list, they'll get 75% answering machines, which, by the way, is normal, and then they'll say, these leads suck, I didn't get anybody, nobody was home, these don't work. And that's not the case. The case is you didn't work that list properly, and so you need to work that list at least 3 times. You need to know how to leave effective phone messages that will get people calling you back, and I teach a 1-2-3 strikes you're out method that gets people calling you back. Not everyone's going to call you back, but the ones who do, those are the ones you want to focus on. And you need to have a system to keep track of all of this activity, because with what I teach, if people are doing this, say for, if they carve out about an hour and a half a day to prospect the way that I teach this with the leads, they're going to put around 5 to 6 people a day into their pipeline. That means 5 or 6 people, new people a day looking at their business opportunity. And if you're trying to keep track of all of that on Post-it notes or spiral notepads or anything like that, you're going to let your prospects fall through the cracks. And that's horrible when you spend all that time and effort and even money to get people to look at your business if you lose track and you're not doing a good job with your follow-up. And that's the next step, is that you really have to master that follow-up. Now, all of these things, of course, we're learning, Jackie, all along, you know. It doesn't mean that even sometimes I might mess up and let somebody slip through my, you know, the crack. It happens. But when you have a system in place, the likelihood of that happening is much less. You're going to have a step-by-step process. And then I think the last thing I would say about, you know, what does a person really need is they need to have realistic expectations and to be patient with the process. So it's like priming the pump, you know. It takes time to get that pump going to where the water's going to come shooting out the other end, you know. At first, you're those old-fashioned pumps, I had one at my great-grandmother's house, and I would lift up that handle, and it would be so heavy I couldn't even lift it, and my great-grandmother would help me at first, you know. We all need help sometimes when we're first doing something for the first time. And she would help me pump that thing, and for a while it would look like nothing was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, I'd start to feel that pressure building up. And, oh, my gosh, I could start to hear something happening down in the earth, you know. And then all of a sudden, the water would come gushing out, and it would come out so hard and so fast it would knock my cup over, and I'd have to pick it back up, you know, to capture the water. And it was so, you know, refreshing and wonderful tasting to have that water after I'd worked for it like that. And the business is the same way. At first, you're going to be priming that pump. You're going to be talking to a lot of people. You're going to be putting them in your information pipeline. And I have tracked this over the years. And it doesn't matter whether I am talking to people I know, my warm market, whether I'm working with people I've met on social media, whether it's at a network marketing networking event like business networking, or if it's leads that I've called. Once I have a person's interest and they go through my first step of my pipeline and they like what they see, it's going to be an average of about 6 weeks before they make that decision to join. And I find that that's the case because people are evaluating. They are making sure this is going to fit for them. They're making sure that this is going to fit in their life. Most people are very busy already. They already have one or two jobs. They have families. They have, you know, spiritual and community obligations. And they're looking, where is this going to fit? And is this the right fit for me? So it's our job to kind of be their tour guides and to build that relationship all along the way. Now, once, if you're brand new and you just get started, once you get past that 6 weeks, if you have been consistent, you will start to have people joining. And you will have people joining at a regular basis now because you're putting new people in your pipeline every day. And so people are at a different stage along the way. Now, that's not to say that some people won't join you in 20 minutes from the first time you open your mouth about it. It happens. And some people will take a year. But on average, it's somewhere around 6 weeks. So you really have to be realistic with your expectations. And if you're brand new to working network marketing and then on top of it leads and then on top of it some of these technologies, you want to give yourself, you know, several months to become comfortable with that.
I like that, and I like that you share that very realistic picture of, you know, the six-week window. And it's like you say, it'll be a lot less for some and a lot more for others, but if a person goes into any of that with their eyes wide open and understands, and they can just understand, you know, the power in working the numbers, the power in the timeline of success and all that kind of stuff, then I think the whole thing becomes a whole lot more palatable and understandable in using these methods to grow a business, definitely. Well, tell us a little bit about the workshop that you offer and where we can learn more about that.
Okay. Well, I started doing this workshop. Originally, I thought I might just do it once because on Monday nights for the past 13 years, I have been teaching a free class. And everybody who's listening, you're more than welcome to come and watch what I do. It's a live prospecting call where I'm calling leads, just like I've been telling you about. And so you can watch the tools I use. You can hear the phone script. You can hear the conversations that I'm having with people that I don't know yet. And that's on Monday nights from 5:30 to 7 o'clock Pacific time. And you can register for that at dialing4dollarslive.com. That's all just one word, dialing4dollarslive.com. It's spelled out, all in words, no numbers or anything. And what happened was on the Monday night calls, you know, I'm doing the peak interest, I'm putting people in the pipeline, I'm giving those leads away to my volunteers. And people were asking all kinds of questions, like, you know, what happens on the follow-up call, and how do you do a three-way call, and how do you overcome the objections, and all of these questions. And so I thought, well, I'll put together a workshop and I'll teach these things. And I did. So it went so well the first time, I thought, well, I'll do another one, and I'll do another one. And I'm getting ready now to do my 31st workshop, and it's been about 4 years that I've been doing these, and I absolutely love them, and because of the results that I get. And also it goes back to my roots as a teacher. That's my passion. I love teaching people. People think I'm crazy, but I actually love phone prospecting. So when I'm teaching people phone prospecting, I'm in my bliss. So what we do during this week, and I do it in a week, I do it in six classes. So we start on a Sunday. We meet every night, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then we have a bonus session on a Saturday morning on leadership. And the reason why I do it over the course of a week is because I want people to get into the discipline and the habit and the momentum of working their business daily and consistently, because those are the keys to being successful. So we're not going to just get together once a week for 6 weeks and then have people not really apply what it is that they're learning. There's too much time in between. So we meet on the Sunday. I do about an hour and a half of content training. We start with overcoming fear of the phone. I do some NLP exercises. We eradicate phone fear right there from the first night. We talk about rapport. I break down the psychology of my phone script and why it works. and so people know, you know, what they're saying and why they're saying it in the order that they're saying it, and they'll tend to stick with the script more. And then after we've done that preliminary training, we actually do live dials. And I rotate through my inner circle. I only take 7 people in my inner circle. And so, Jackie, if it were your turn, you'd be on the phone with me the first night. I'm going to do all the talking with the prospect. I'm going to let the prospect know you're there with me. When we get through the interview and we get to the part where we're giving them the first step of the pipeline, I have you do that. So now the prospect's connecting with you, hearing your voice and so forth. And then we set up a follow-up call. And we try to schedule it for the next night when we're all back together, and that way I can coach people through their follow-up calls as well. And then I bring the next person on, and we make more calls, and I work with that person, and then we keep going. So everyone in the inner circle gets turns with me on the phone. Then after the second session, I start sending these inner circle people leads, and their home play is to call the leads and track them based on a tracking sheet that I've provided for them. And so they're putting into action what they've learned in the evening session, and that's their homework. At the beginning of each session, they report their results back, and they've got this little mastermind group that's just rooting them on, you know, and they're sharing their results. We're putting people in the pipeline. People are getting really excited. And then each evening, I do another training, and so and then a dial session. So the second night, it's all about priority management. I call it priority management instead of time management because we all have the same amount of time. It's just how we choose to use it. So I show them some tools and things to help them manage their time. The next night is overcoming procrastination, the 10 main reasons people procrastinate. And by that night, we already have tools and systems in place that we've taken care of most of the reasons why people procrastinate. It's not as big of an issue anymore. And then the next night, it's all about the vital importance of three-way calling, how to do that expertly. And the final evening is overcoming objections. And so by the end of the session, and then we have the three-hour leadership on Saturday. It's the mindset, tool set, and skill set for creating team synergy, duplication, and retention. So we're together about 18 hours during the workshop, plus they have the home play. But by the end of the workshop, they're over their fear. They've got prospects in their pipeline. They've got a system, and they're off and running. And I had one of my workshop graduates, an older gentleman who is retired. He was a high school principal. He had been in his primary program for 17 years, and it had just kind of gone flat. He'd kind of lost his why, you know, why he was in the business. He was getting pretty comfortable in his retirement. But he really does want the additional income, and he really does love his company and believe in his products. So he took the workshop. Well, we finished the workshop on Saturday. Monday, I got a phone call from him. He left a message, and he said, I just wanted to let you know that I have enrolled 2 new business builders with a third one about to come on. I am on fire because of the workshop and the training. And that's why I continue to do the workshops, Jackie, because people come in, they overcome all of this stuff that's holding them back, they get a clear track to run on, and they're off and going. So it just gives me a great sense of satisfaction to see people doing that.
I love that. And then where can they go to learn more about that?
GetDialing4Dollars.com. And that's all spelled out in words. GetDialing4Dollars. Oh, you got to put the www in on that website, actually. So www.GetDialing4Dollars.com. There's a little video there, me talking about the workshop, and just below the video, there's a link for the phone script. So if you want to go and pick that up as a free gift, you can do that as well.
That sounds awesome, and the links will be in the show notes too, so feel free to hop on over and you can find those, because I know a lot of people listen, you know, as they're driving and walking and at the gym and that kind of thing. So
right. And you know what I do too, Jackie, is I take applications for the workshop. I don't have a registration, you know, you don't pay right then, you don't lock in your spot or anything, because I actually personally call every single person who applies, and I make sure that what they're looking for and what I'm offering is a good fit, and I select my inner circle participants. Now, I didn't mention my outer circle. Outer circle, I have unlimited seats for that, and it's people who are there learning through observation, so they're not interacting and making the phone calls during the session, but they're soaking up all the training. Just like if you went to a seminar and some people are called on stage to be the demo subjects, well, everyone else in the seminar learns from being there. And then I have 2 options for my outer circle, and that is with leads and without leads. And so the people with leads, they'll be given a file of leads every night also to do his home play, so they can be taking part just like the inner circle is, you know, getting into activity immediately.
Excellent. Very good. Okay, so I have one final question for you before we end, and that is, if you were just getting started today in network marketing, but you already have the knowledge that you have now, what would you do to launch and build your business?
Wow, what a great question. What would I launch and do to build my business if I already had the knowledge that I have right now? So basically, if I were starting all over again, that's kind of what
Yes.
it sounds like. If I were starting all over again right now, well, I would make sure that I chose a company wisely. So I have some criteria I would go through and make sure that I had a company that I felt was going to, you know, be there for the long run, that had really solid leadership, and that had a product that was relevant in the marketplace that I felt passionate about. For me, I have to be passionate about my product. So that would be the first thing. And then secondly, I would just, you know, make sure that I had that abundance mentality when it came to prospecting, and know that no matter where I was going to be getting my prospects, whether I was going to continue working with leads, whether I was going to go back into my warm market, whether I was going to be going to, you know, networking events or doing social media or whatever, that there's lead abundance. There is no lack of people that are literally praying for an opportunity. And so I would just go at it with a vengeance. I would create a story. I wouldn't mess around. I would put my blinders on, create a 30-day story, because you know, put the pedal to the metal. Just like when Pat and I started all over again, we basically didn't sleep for the first 24 hours, and we recruited 12 people in the first 24 hours, and within 30 days. We turned that into 100 people, and then that developed into the 18,000. So I would just repeat that process again, because you only have one time really to create that story and that momentum in the very, very beginning. And that's what creates, that's what attracts other people to you, because you've got that fire in your belly and that passion. And so that's what I would do. I would put the pedal to the metal, put the blinders on, make some sacrifices, and just and go full force.
I love that. Well, Tracy, thanks so much for spending some time here with us today. You've provided great content and value. And again, the show notes will contain all the links to everything that we shared here. And I just wanted to tell you, I appreciate you. I respect you. I look up to you as a true leader in our profession. And it's great having a chance to interview you and spend some time here today.
Well, it has been a true honor, Jackie, and I can just reflect all that right back onto you. I watch what you do, and I learn from you continuously. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And as a reminder, you can get all the show notes over at JackieElmer.com/058, including resources for the leads, scripts, and all that good stuff. For leads, you can go to JackieElmer.com/leads now. Tracy and I have used the same leads. And also, if you want good success language, you can go to StreetSmartScripts.com. Stay tuned for some other resources. Well, thanks again for spending this time with me. And it's kind of funny that Tracy closed with talking about, you know, creating that 30-day story. And actually, on next week's podcast, I'm going to be sharing the details on how to create your story, the power and psychology behind the 30-day story, and why that's so important. So we will talk about how to create your story, how to share your story, and other great stuff on next week's podcast. And in the meantime, if you have found this show helpful, please pass it on to other people, help spread the word. Also, if you haven't given me a review or a rating in iTunes, I would love it if you would do that. You can just go to iTunes and just type in Jackie Elmer Podcast, and you'll find me there, or Street Smart Wealth, Profit in Your PJs. I've got a lot of keywords there, and I would love your rating and review on Stitcher as well, or wherever you listen to this podcast on a regular basis. I'll see you next week. If you would like even more tips and training, I have a free gift for you over at profitinyourpjsnow.com. mynutsandbolts.com. That's my nuts and bolts on how to be successful in your network marketing business. You can also get more at my blog, JackieElmer.com, and be sure to connect with me on my Facebook page, facebook.com/streetsmartwealth, and on Twitter, @JackieElmer. See you on the next show and have a fun, profitable week.